Great privilege for us to worship God. We know that. We need to be reminded of that oftentimes. It's also a great privilege to be able to preach. I thank God that He gave me the opportunity to preach and open the door. And of course, if I don't have the Spirit of the Lord, it won't be much of a sermon. And I want to teach tonight as well as preach. You know, I did a paper one time on that for a group of preachers about teaching and preaching, and the preacher did both. Sometimes preaching is teaching too. There's a difference in just teaching and preaching, because preaching is a public proclamation of the gospel, something special about that. You have to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I hope to do a little teaching and preaching both tonight. And I want to say this too, what I really hope will happen, and I want you to listen to this. Churchill, the great leader of England during World War II, when he would give direction to people, he had a little piece of red, he'd stick this red thing on the paper. He said, "Action today." So I'd like to have some action today. I hope tonight that when I preach, there'll be some action today. I really mean that. It won't get just going one ear and out the other. And what I want to do, I want to talk on our approachable God. And that's talking about prayer, our approachable God. And I want you to pray about something, because I'm trying to write a book on prayer right now. It'll be essays on prayer. It won't just be like a real book. But it will be a book made of essays on prayer. And I'm pretty bad to procrastinate, so I've set a goal. And, of course, we have to always have to say the Lord will when we set a goal. I'm really made aware of that very much more than I ever have been. And you need to be also. Every day when we get up, we all say, "Lord will, I'll do this or that." So to force myself to really get into it, the Lord willing, I'm supposed to preach up at Crawbyton, Texas, where Tom Tedder's pastor, the second weekend in November. And my hope is to have this book ready by then, because James Tedder is the one who can fix it up and take it to Lulu Press or email it to them. And then the books that I have printed, like the one on preachers, fellow laborers, and also my commentary on Philippians, Lulu did that, and James is the one who set it up. So my goal is to have it thing ready by then, so I really hope you'll pray about that. I have the discipline and the time to get that ready. And I'm getting so enthused about it, I may have to write two books on prayer, I don't know, because I want to get this one done. If I don't get it done now, I'll never get it done. So I want to do that. Then who knows, there may be some more coming. But I want to talk about our approachable God. And I'm just going to use a few scriptures, and I'll do a word study. It's amazing how approachable God is. So I'm going to just read you some scripture. Let's go first of all to Ephesians 2:18, and I'll do a little word study. God a lot more approachable than we think that He is. The devil doesn't want us to think He's approachable, because we all, as I've said many times, are kind of Arminian by nature. You may not realize that, but you really are. We just, even though we know better, I think I get good enough to go to God. And sometimes I don't go to God like I should, but especially with enthusiasm, because, well, I'm a sinner. Well, that's false, because God is always open more than we realize. You can't realize it. When I get through tonight, I guarantee the half had not been told. I'm going to go over a few scriptures. God is extremely approachable to His children. God loves to hear His children pray. You like to hear your kids talk? I do. Little bitty kids, it just thrilled me when my little bitty kids begin to mumble. I hold on to their every word. I really wish I'd written down a book about that, about the things they said. I never got tired of hearing my kids, my little bitty kids and my grandkids now, the little guys. Not you big guys are okay too, but the little guys, I like to hear them just kind of say little cute little things, you know. And anyway, God loves to hear us talk. He said in Proverbs, the prayer of the upright is His delight. He loves to hear us pray. The devil doesn't want you to believe that. But I'm going to read you some scriptures, and I hope God will give me liberty, or at least if I don't have liberty, I hope that the Holy Ghost will make an impact. I'm going to give you about three or four scriptures, and I'm going to concentrate on one of them. And I'm talking about our approachable God. My friend, God is approachable to His children in an amazing way. First of all, let's go to Ephesians 2:18. Ephesians 2:18. And I'm really going to break into the context, really. Because I just want to get on prayer. I'm talking about prayer now. And you know, I've always emphasized prayer at Great Chapel, and this is a praying church. In fact, I remember one time preaching a short sermon at San Antonio when they dedicated their new church building. We were down there, and I was out walking in Shirley Nacho's backyard, and God just put this on me from Acts 16 about Lydia and the sisters that were down there in Philippi by the riverside, and it says where prayer was wont to be made. I love the expression, want to. It means a custom to be made. And I told the people at San Antonio, I hope and pray to God this church will be a place where prayer is wont to be made. I know that's true of Grace Chapel to an extent, but we have not arrived yet, and we probably never will arrive. I hope we get better and better in our corporate prayer life, also in our private prayer life. I'm glad we meet early and pray. I'm glad Isaac's doing the same thing. I've been watching him pretty closely, and I'm trusting him more all the time. And I love it because he wants to get to have some real, genuine prayers. And I'm glad he's a man of prayer. Well, thank God for that. You know, preachers ought to be a man of prayer. You know that? You pray for us in our private prayer life. When the deacons were ordained, it said we may give ourselves continually, give ourselves. How about that? Give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. If the word's not ministered, if it's not fed by prayer, it probably doesn't do very much good, even though the word of God is always great. And so we need to be praying people. And I'm glad we're praying people. I'm glad we have our prayer and fasting days. I'm glad we bathe people in prayer. I'm serious about that. I know many of you are too. I hope you all are. Bathing people in prayer. We have to be reminded of it because sometimes I even forget. I've even forgotten our prayer and fasting days sometimes. Keith is real good about reminding me of that. I'm glad that he is. But we can't overdo prayer. But my friend, look, this is great. This is a wonderful. I'm going to read you some words. I'm going to get a word study now. It ought not to be dull. It ought not to be dull. This is a great word that I'm going to give you now from Ephesians 2:18. Then go to three or four more of the scriptures. Don't know how long it'll take. May not be all that long. So listen very carefully. And don't forget, church shall write, action today. Action today. Before you go to bed, you kids, action today. I don't have a red piece of paper. If I did, I'd give it to you. Action today. I mean that. All right, look at Ephesians 2:18. For through him, that's Jesus Christ, we both, that's Jew and Gentile, have access by the Spirit unto the Father. What a verse. The Trinity is involved in prayer. The Trinity is involved in prayer. When we pray, the Trinity, my friends, is involved in our prayers. For through him, that is Jesus Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access of one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. That's an amazing verse. I said this lots of times. Some people kind of grin, but I still say it. Boy, can't the Holy Ghost write a book? He knows how to write it, doesn't he? What a verse. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That word access, let's look at it a little bit. It's a wonderful word. So I'm going to just talk to you about this word. It's an amazing word. Here's what's happening. I'm going to read you some definition, but here's what's really going on. Let's just say that I want to go talk to a very important person, but I'm just a peon. How can I talk to an important person? But what if that important person had a real good friend who's equally important to him and he loves me? So he said, I'll tell you what, Zach, I'm going to take you and introduce you to my influential friend. That's exactly, my friend, what this word means. Jesus Christ introduces me every time I come to prayer to his Father. He presents me to his Father. That's a truth. That's a Bible truth. I'll read you the words. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what happened. See, you need to think about these things when you pray. If you have a hard time praying, let the Bible get your mind conditioned to pray. Just don't just run into God's presence. Look at a few of these scriptures. Get your spirit, my friend, ready to go to God in prayer. That one verse will do it. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Let's look at these words now. That word is prosagago. Agage. Here's what it means. And you can have these notes if you want them. I think I got them saved. Admission. I have admission. I have access. It comes from a verb that's closely aligned to a verb. Prosago. To lead towards. That is, to conduct near. Or to approach. Bring. Draw near. Isn't that wonderful? Let me read those to you again. That's what happens when I come to God in prayer. Here's what Jesus Christ is doing. I'm having admission to God, access to God. Can you imagine that? Do you know who we're talking to? We're talking to the one over in 1 Timothy 6 says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach into, who no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. That's the one we're approaching. We're approaching the one that Revelation says even the angels veil their eyes. We can't imagine how holy God is. I wish we knew more about how holy God is. It's good for us to know how holy God is, my friend. He's so holy. How can I approach a being like that? Because I have access through Jesus Christ to come to that holy one. I've got a right to come to him. And we need to avail ourselves of that right. All right, to lead towards. Like I said, I'll read these again. Present. To approach. I'm approaching God. He's not like Ahasuerus that Isaac talked to us about. Esther was afraid to come to Ahasuerus, even though she was his wife. That old despot had, when somebody came to his presence and that had not been invited there, and he didn't roll that golden scepter, that a capital crime. I bet a lot of people who got killed that tried to come to Ahasuerus. He didn't like them, so he said, just get rid of him. I did not invite him. You don't have that in heaven. He's not a despot. He's a great ruler. But I'm going to tell you, friends, the welcome mat is always out for God's children. Always out. The welcome mat. How about that? The heavenly welcome mat is there when you come to God in prayer. I like that. Tony and Patty used to have something. I probably won't be able to say it right. It's like something like, come in, friend. How did it go? Gee, I forgot how it went. Something betide. The kettle's on, so come inside. I always like to see that sign on their door. But he said, I believe they're welcome here. People are welcome here. Brother, have you got somebody's house you like to go to? You're always welcome. Well, my brother, you're always welcome in that heavenly house. And the fact that you're welcome. And let me tell you this while I'm at it. You know where he is at right now? He's in the Holy of Holies. Some of these days we need to have a Bible study on maybe a Wednesday night on the tabernacle and the temple. Now, they had a court, a big court. I won't go into this too much. They had a big old court with a lot of stuff there that really meant it meant everything. Something meant everything in there meant something. But then when you come to the tabernacle proper, the tent, it had two compartments. They had the holy place. That's pretty good, isn't it? To get in the holy place is pretty good. But they had a veil that divided the holy place from the most holy place. Now, you couldn't go in that most holy place. Once a year, the high priest went into the most holy place. And you know what was in that place? It's amazing what was in there. I get choked up sometimes thinking about this. What they had in there, the Ark of the Covenant, which is like a box here, had a lid on it called the mercy seat. And on either end of that, they had the cherubim, which are angels. I love the King James. It said they had their faces mercy seatward. You like that mercy seatward? It means they're looking down at the seat, the mercy seat. And my brother, between those two cherubim that represent those heavenly beings, and Hebrews says the things that are in Hebrews are a pattern of things in the heavens. We can get a glimpse of things in the heavens by looking at that pattern, the tabernacle. And the Shekinah glory, God's presence, my friend, was between those two cherubim. And sometimes in the Old Testament it says, he who dwells between the cherubim. This is not a fairy story. I'm not making this up. I'm not giving an inspirational speech. I'm preaching the Bible to you. We literally, my brothers and sisters, in the Spirit, come before God the Father, that Shekinah glory, we come to God in prayer. We need to condition ourselves by the Bible before we come to God in prayer. Now, I'm coming to God himself when I come in prayer. And we know my brother, the one standing beside him, is our intercessor, the Son of God, who is the one who's giving us access to that throne of grace. He's introducing us to God. He's recommending us to God the Father every time we come to there. And the Holy Ghost is also involved in that. Isn't that wonderful? All right. A.T. Robertson, the great Greek scholar, the approach, the introduction. Webster, Gill says something too. Let me see if I can find that. Gill uses a word, well, let me just read what Gill said, and then I'll kind of give some explanation. I love word study. This should not be dull now. I know I'm not too good a reader, but I'm still going to do this. Here's what old Gill says. Now, here's what I want you to do when you come to God. To secure a freedom and liberty. When you come to God, have freedom and liberty. And their approach to him to encourage in holy boldness and a fiducial confidence in him. I bet y'all don't know what fiducial means, do you? We're pretty ignorant now in the day we live in. People used to know words better than we do. Here's what fiducial means. I looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary. It's from a Latin word meaning trust. Confidence, undoubting, unwavering, firm. That's what it means. I have a kind of trust in God Almighty. I come to Him unwavering. I come firm. I come undoubting. I belong there. I have access through the blessed Son of God. Isn't that great? Bible, that's Bible I'm giving you. Bible. What these words mean. God put the word, He inspired the Bible in words. Now, a couple more Gill quotes. You know what? You can write books on this one verse. I can't do it. But you write books on this one verse and not exhaust it. He, Jesus, takes them, as it were, by the hand and leads them to the presence of the Father and presents their petitions for them on whose account they have both audience and acceptance with God. You know, I don't know how to pray as all. You don't either. I try to pray right, but my brother Paul was the same boat with us. He said in Romans 8, he said, the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost now, helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. James Rushing used to say this, God takes our feeble prayers, dresses them up, makes them perfect, and takes them to God. Isn't that great? My brother and sister, the Bible's full of this. Now, I don't get too carried away. We'd be here all night. But I tell you what, you look over Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 8, and there's a beautiful picture in heaven of the prayers of the saints coming before the throne of God as sweet incense. Our prayers, my friend, are they are fragranced by the incense of Christ, and they smell good to God Almighty. It said over in Psalm 141, let my prayers come before thee as incense, the lifting up of my hands at the evening sacrifice. My prayers in Grace Chapel, my brother, that's one reason I believe we've been having some good services lately. And we have had, if anybody's got any spiritual sensitivity, we've been having some good services. I just thank God, and we ought not to take that for granted. We need to be humble before God, and we need to live right kind of lives, and we need to be praying to God Almighty and praying for each other. You know that? You God can take that away, and this would be as dull as it can possibly be. You read the book of Ezekiel, friends. It's kind of interesting over there. In Ezekiel, it talks about the Holy Ghost moving in and moving out. It's so sad, he began to move out. But when he moved in, it's a thing, great thing. I say, God, move in and stay here at Grace Chapel for a while. Lord, reside with us here if you'll do that. That's what we ought to be begging God to do. Another Gill quote, and this access is also by one Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as the Ethiopian version reads. He's always reading these Ethiopian version stuff. Timothy and I get tickled at him. And so did I. The guys he quotes from sometimes. And who is necessary in access to God as the Spirit of adoption to enable and encourage souls to go to God as a Father. And it says that in both Galatians 4 and also in Romans 8, my brother, the Spirit of God comes in our heart and we cry, Abba, Father. That means He's our Papa. He's our Daddy. It's a term of endearment. And you've done that. I'm like Isaac today. I know you've done that. You may not be conscious of what you've done, but you've done that. If you're born again, brother, sister, and brother, there have been times you've come to God Almighty, your heart's been warmed, and you talk to Him like that because the Holy Ghost caused you to do that. I don't remember the first time I prayed, really prayed. I don't remember that. And sometimes my prayers are dull. I'll admit it to this very day, and yours are too. But pray anyway. Pray anyway. He's hearing them where you fit it or not. I guarantee you he does. His ears are open to the cries of His children. Psalm 34, also repeated in the book of Peter. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears, my brother and sister, open to their cries. He can do what you can't do. You know that? I can't save my brother. But God can if He wants to. I can't help my erring children if I had some, but God can do that. I can't heal the sick, my brother, but God can if He wants to. If He doesn't, He's got a reason for not healing them. He's all wise. We have to learn how to submit to Him. He's better than we can imagine. He loves us more than we can imagine. His ears are open to our prayers. Okay, and the Spirit of adoption to enable and encourage souls to go to God as a Father and as a Spirit of supplication. See, I want to. You look that scripture up. He said one time, I will pour out upon them the Spirit of grace and supplication. I'm asking God to do it for me. Ask God, Lord, pour out on our pastors the Spirit of grace and supplications. I want that. I really do want that. I want that spirit of grace and supplications. To teach both how to pray. And for what? As they should. As a free spirit. To give them liberty. Liberty. To speak their minds freely. And pour out their souls to God. Do that. I know you've got some problems. You all got problems. You may not be able to talk to the closest person on earth. I don't know. Sometimes when people are grieving, they don't even know how to talk to their own kinfolk about it. But you can talk to God about it. You can pour your heart out to God Almighty. Get out there by yourself sometime. Sometimes just groan and cry to Him. And by the tears may flow. But He hears the groanings of your soul. He wants to hear them. I'm not overdoing this. In fact, I'm underdoing it. And pour out their soul to God. And as a spirit of faith to engage them to pray in faith. With the holy boldness. Do you like that? I love it. And confidence and importunity. My, I love every one of those words. Now, what I'm going to do now, I may not be here long. That's my word study on Ephesians 2:18. Now, let's go to three or four more other passages that talk about, my friend, we have access to God. He's an approachable God. Approachable God. We sang some songs that had to do with that, but I'm not going to go to them right now. But anyway, look over in Ephesians 3:12. Another wonderful verse. I gave you Ephesians 2:18. Chew on that. Meditate on that. Now let's look at Ephesians 3:12. Talk about Jesus our Lord. That's where this pronoun is referring to. In whom, I didn't look these words up today. If I did, we'd probably be here all night. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through the faith of Him. That faith He gives you, my brother and sister, you have boldness and access with confidence. I didn't look the word boldness up. I have before. It means pour it all out. Roy got that word down. He talks about that sometimes. With confidence, my precious friend, we have boldness and access with confidence through the faith that God Almighty gives us His children. We need to cultivate it. We need to cultivate it. Now, I'm going to finish up with Hebrews. I'm not going to take a long time. But I'll tell you what, my friend, listen. Let me read to you some Hebrew scriptures. And I'm going to read some things Gil said about this in a minute. Hope y'all not tired of old Gil. He's a pretty good old boy. Even if we have to talk about Abbott Ezra and Kemke and that other guy, we get so tickled sometimes. We love old Gil, but you got to eat the chicken, spit the bones out. All right, here we go. Let's look at Hebrews. My friends, I told you before, Hebrews is a wonderful book. It tells us of things. There are patterns of the things in the heavens. That tabernacle is one of the things it does. All right, I'm going to give you three scriptures from Hebrews. I'll agree, 9:3, first of all, 9:3. And after the second veil, that's the veil between the holy place and the most holy place. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, the holiest of all. Now, there's a veil right there. You think about that. I'm going to talk about that veil in a minute. There's a veil right there. Those Old Testament saints knew there's a veil right there. Now, God answered prayer in the Old Testament. My brother, they didn't know as much about it as we do today. We have a freedom they did not have, despite the great prayers in the Old Testament. Don't tell me they didn't have a good prayer life in the Old Testament. Look at Daniel chapter 9. Look at the Psalms, different places. Yeah, they had a great prayer life, but they didn't know as much as we know. There's something different today. I tell you there. You ought to thank God we live in New Testament times. We live the day of the New Covenant, my precious friend. There's a freedom there that the Old Testament saints did not have. All right, so we see that now. Let's read that again, Hebrews 9:3. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Now let's look in chapter 9, verse 8. Again, breaking into the context. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. It wasn't manifest. God was still there. He still answered prayer, but it was not manifest to them. Let me read that to you again. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, which as the first tabernacle was yet standing. But I tell you, it's different now, hallelujah. It's different now. It's manifest now. You remember when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? One of the things that happened, you remember what it was? The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. You ought to read that. That's an amazing thing that happened right there. That's a great big veil. I've read about that. It was real thick. Real thick. Real beautiful, too. Had all kinds of things engraved in there or woven in there. Gold strings and stuff like that. Depicting angels and things like that. Amazing. Read about that. Great. But my brother, the people knew that's a sacred place. Nobody gets in there. But the high priest, he gets in there once a year. But when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, something happened. Hallelujah, something happened. Glory to God, something happened. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. And you know what it signified? Well, he tells us right here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that something? See, that's it. You have boldness. Look at that. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You go to the holiest now. You're a priest with God. You know that? You're a priest with God Almighty. He said that. You're a kingdom of priests. You're a royal priesthood. Peter tells us that. You can go into the Holy of Holies, my precious friend, by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can enter in there. Of course, you've got to be reverent. I realize that. You can't be flippant about it. But you can have the freedom and access to go to the Holy of Holies. When you pray, that's what you do. That's what you do. You got to believe this. It's Bible. You got to believe it. But you got to think about it and meditate on it, or you won't get much out of it. This could be a sermon. Brother Zach preached a pretty good sermon. I enjoyed it pretty much, but I think I'll go home now and I'll think about something else. Don't do that. Action today, buddy. That's what old Churchill said. He wasn't a Christian probably, but he's still pretty good saying. Church action today. It's up to you, my friend. Are you going to try to be a prayer person or not? I tell you, the devil will do everything he can to keep you from the throne of grace. He does me. I want to go pray. I got to do this first. And then lo and behold, I got to do this first. Now I got to do that first. I've been trying lately to say, look, that stuff's got to wait. All that stuff's going to burn up someday anyway, but this is not going to burn up. My brother, prayer needs to be a priority. The Lord Jesus Christ said, my house should be called a house of prayer among all nations. May Grace Chapel be a house of prayer. Let me tell you something. I'm going to talk to you about some things I live, if I live. Since I'm in a transition, I'm a transition guy. I got one foot in the old world, one in the new world. Most of y'all are not transition people. Most of y'all are really young. I love my church at Marsh Memorial when I was baptized there in 1954 when I was 13 years old. That place was a great place, just like Whitehaven used to be. It's filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother E.C. Holder can preach. I tell you what, he can bring heaven down to us, it looked like. My brother, when I first got born again and got baptized, if I didn't have a good cry, I didn't think I'd been to church, and it was not a cheap cry either. My heart was touched by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were lifted up, my brother, as a congregation. That place would hold 400 people, and we had 200 members. That church was started in 1915. She had only about a 50-year heyday. She was an anchor among the old Baptists, my brother. She was a real place right there. You can't believe the house that place throbbed. We baptized sometimes 20 people a year. 20 people a year. You talk about reviving times. But I tell you what, my friend, she began to go down. I don't know all the reasons. I know some of them. And so by 1965, she was getting winding on down. 50 years. Winding on down. You got to be careful. You can't mess around with God. I'm there. I'm a witness of that. I'm telling you something I know about. And my brother today, if she still exists, she's across the river in Marion, Arkansas, and she got two or three members, if they even have two or three members left. That was not God's fault. God forbid that happened to Grace Chapel. Now, brother, we've been here 50 years. May God give us 50 more years. It's up to you, serving God Almighty. You take for granted what we've got right here, and you get lazy about that, and brother, we'll say, well, that Grace Chapel had a pretty good heyday, maybe 75 years. God forbid. I hope her heyday lasts till Christ comes again. But you better be careful in the way you handle yourself. You better be zealous and love each other and love God Almighty with all of our heart if this place is going to continue on like I hope she does. Yes, we've been here now about as long as Whitehaven had her day. We were started in 1969. You do the math. My brother, I'm charging you as your old pastor who won't be here much longer probably. I may hang around long you want me to. I don't know about that. But I'm telling you, I'm charging you. You better put Almighty God first. Don't leave your first love. Don't leave your first love. If you've lost it, get back to it. Get back to it. Now let me hear what Gil said about that. I love this. Christ has in person entered into it by his blood. He went in there, didn't he? Hallelujah. He went in there. He entered into the holy place, the Bible said, by his blood. He obtained eternal redemption for us. He got eternal redemption. He entered the holy place. The God-man went in there. You're talking about a heroic thing. I'll tell you, that's what a triumph that was. When that hero came back to heaven, I bet those angels were just going crazy. If that's not the way you can say it, probably. They had a big time worshiping him. My friend, heaven had a celebration, a coronation of the Son of God. We'll see him some of these days. We'll join that triumph some of these days. We're really triumphant now. We just don't know it. We haven't experienced glorification yet, but we have already experienced justification, and we're experiencing sanctification. And like Isaac said today, the Holy Ghost never leave us alone. We are faithful to God to some extent because God's making us to be faithful. And I'm not a robot either. I don't talk about a robot. We got a responsibility. Christ had in person entered into it by his blood and opened the way for his people. He opened the way. And believers in him may enter now. And they do when they exercise grace on him who is there. And when they come and present their prayers and praises to God by him, and they have now an actual right to enter into the place. That's your access itself. And who will hereafter enter in person? We're going to enter in person one of these days. That's really going to be something, isn't it? We enter in the spirit now, and then when we die, our spirit enters a different way. It really gets in there. My friend, the spiritual just men made perfect, Hebrews talked about. Heaven's full of them. We got a lot of buddies there. You got friends there. I can't wait to see them again one of these days. I want to see Jesus first, but my brother, he also lets us see the loved ones who died in Jesus Christ who've gone before. That's why when we come down to a funeral of a child of God, it's a celebration. It's a celebration. Poor old Terry had a hard time when David died, but she still was worshiping God. She would just be bawling and carrying on, my friend, her heart broken, and then she'd raise her hand, she'd praise the Lord. Mark did the same thing when Rhonda died. I tell you what, man, I was there in that room when she died, and my friend, he began to weep and everything. Then he looked up and said, "Oh, isn't God good? He is good, my friends. I'm so glad it's not like that. Like you said, Logan, it's not the end of the road for a child of God." My friend, listen, we keep our stuff in this holy place, this most holy place, and that'll help us to have the strength we need to this world we live in. We don't need to envy the wicked. We ought to feel sorry for them. These people who are doing such ungodly things in our country, we all feel sorry for them, even though we don't like what they're doing a bit. But they're not the winners. We're the winners in Jesus Christ. We're the ones who access to heaven. They don't. You remember what happened over that parable over there about the wedding? And a guy tried to enter in. He did not have the garment on. He said, "What are you doing here? You get out of here. I'm going to cast you to outer darkness." And that guy was speechless. A brother and sister, there'd be a lot of speechless people who can't enter in. God said, "What are you doing here? I never knew you. You depart from me, you work iniquity." He wants that to his children. You come on in here. You got access. You got a right to be here. You've been covered by the blood. Your name's the Lamb's Book of Life. And will hereafter enter in person. And the manner of their present entrance is with boldness. I can't emphasize that too much. You got right to the throne of grace. Which signifies their right unto it. And liberty. Oh, Gil just likes these words. Liberty. Freedom. Get in there and pray. Granted them by God. And the liberty which they sometimes have in their own souls. And great courage. Courage! And intrepidity. That's a good word. That's a real good word right there. And great courage and intrepidity of mind, which arises from a sense of remission of sins. You got a right to go to the throne of grace. Isn't that wonderful? You got a right. My friend, I tell you what, I'm just scratching the surface. I promise you I am. I could go some places right now. I'm scratching the surface. But you know, you got to do. Over in Isaiah 64, the Lord's complaining about people. They did not stir up themselves. Take hold on God. You got to stir yourself up to take hold on God sometimes. Our default is the stinking old flesh. You know what default is? It's the default in our stinking old flesh. You just let yourself go, and you usually don't go in a good direction. It takes some spiritual effort, but God will give you that. Let me tell you what God will do. It says in Ephesians 3:16, Paul prayed that God strengthen us with might by thy spirit in the inner man. That's what we're praying for. Strengthen us with might. And you pray for your old pastors and your young pastors too and everybody else. Let me give you a final scripture I want to give you from Ephesians 6. I'm going to go there. That's the whole armor of God. And that's not mentioned as a weapon, but he's tied them all together. That's the last thing it says there in Ephesians 6. He's talking about the whole armor of God. So I want to read you a couple of verses here about what we need to be doing. I'll read verse 18 and 19, and maybe 20 here. Yeah, 20. Now, this is a powerful verse. This is a concentrated verse. This is an amazing verse, a Holy Spirit written verse. Here's what we need to be doing, Paul says, with each other. And I hope you're doing that. And if you're not, get to doing it. I need to do better myself. I admit that. I pray for church members, but I don't pray for them like I want to. I want God to crank me up where I'm praying like I ought to. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'll read that to you again. That's what we ought to be doing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's really a mouthful. That's somebody who's really doing some praying. Then he singled out the preachers. Well, we need it, my friend. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, I may open my mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel. Open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly and ought to speak. If you want some preaching, you better be doing some praying. I heard old E.M. Bounds, he's an old Methodist, so I didn't like his theology a bit. If there's any Methodists here, I'm sorry about that. I just don't like Methodist theology. He's too Arminian. But he had a good old prayer warrior. I believe old God is a child of God. And he talked about praying, a lot about praying. Now, let me tell you what he said. I want to talk to all you preachers. He talked about unction. We need unction. Unction is anointing of the Spirit of God. He said, a man that doesn't spend time in prayer doesn't have any unction. He said, an unction is a strange thing. What looks like unction sometimes is not unction. He said, earnestness is not unction by itself. Even if you have unction, you will have earnestness. But earnestness by itself is not unction. Or eloquence is not unction. Even though a man ought to be eloquent if he can. And learning is not unction. That's an indefinable quality that God Almighty gives to the gospel of Jesus Christ when the Holy Spirit is present. And God's children know about that. They know the joyful sound. Like I talked about the joyful sound today. You know that joyful sound. I know some of you here, I won't call any names and embarrass some people. We got some good old Baptists here. They know the joyful sound. They know my hero guy's up here doing the best he can. He's kind of wandering around, walking in the mud. All of a sudden, whammo, the light goes on. They say, he's preaching now. That's what you need to be praying about. That's what you need to be praying about. Then, my brother, if that's really the truth, that word will reach your... You listen, let me tell you something you all be praying about. You need to have God Almighty open up your heart too, or you won't get anything out of it. There's one lady that left this church. She said, I hadn't got anything out of this preaching in the last 10 years. I hate that. I don't think I'm that bad a preacher. I know I'm not very good, but not everybody says that. I think it's her fault, probably. At least part of it. My brother, what you got to do is you got to say, God, I want you to do for me like you did for Lydia down by the riverside of Philippi where that prayer wants to be made. And God says, the Lord opened her heart to receive the thing spoken by Paul. We need our hearts opened up with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to quit now, I guess. I just love this subject. My brother, I love you so much. I beg you to be prayer warriors. Women be prayer warriors. Men be prayer warriors. I love those stories about old Anna, the prophetess, that didn't leave the temple night and day and fasting and prayers. What a good, and the woman indeed over there says she trusteth in God and continues in prayers night and day. No telling, my friend, how many churches have been blessed by old sisters like that that felt like they were helpless, but they knew how to trust the throne of God Almighty. Jenny and I know a lot of old prayer warrior sisters. We can talk to you about that all day. Old Sister Jetty Cleveland, Sister Annie Henson. Sister Bieber down there at Pine Hill, my friend, probably I've been saved from a lot of bad stuff and maybe given a good blessing because those little sisters knew how to touch the hem of God's garment in prayer. And you kids can pray too. God hears the prayer of his children. I don't care how old they are. Well, I'm going to just quit. I'm going to say this. If there's anybody here that hadn't been baptized, wants to get baptized, let's give an invitation now. Before I even get the guy to make the, I get the guy to make the announcement too quick. They're making, they do a good job. Keepers are one of the best in the world. But before you give an invitation, let's sing a song. And I think one of you guys all choose one out. Roy usually gets a good one. You got a pretty good one. What would it be? 422. And if anybody wants to make a profession of faith, you do that. And then we'll have the announcements. Old Roy can make the announcements. All right. My friend, action today now. That's what Churchill said. Grab one of these scriptures anyway and meditate on it tonight. Go ahead and start it. Let's all stand.